That is our prayer this morning, that we would be still, that we would know that you are God and that you are good and that you love us no matter what. Help us to remove any distractions that we have that are on our hearts and minds, and just put those aside for a moment, this time as we worship you and we give thanks to you for all you do and all you are. Holy Spirit, work in each one of our hearts today. It's in your name we pray. Amen. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Perhaps you've heard these verses and you've went, all right, he's with me in trouble. Great. Good. But what about right now, God? Because, I mean, you say it, but see, I'm in the midst of it right now and I don't see you. Maybe some of you have thought that before. If you took a snapshot of your life over the last 4 weeks, would any of you say that there have been troubles or struggles? Let me see a show of hands. Have you had any troubles or struggles over the last 4 weeks? Maybe there's something coming up that's causing you severe anxiety, like Thanksgiving, right? You got baking to do. You got family members to see that you don't want to see because you know that uncle, that's an extra grace required person, he's going to say something because he does every time y'all get together. And you just cringe at the thought of seeing and hearing what he's going to say next. Maybe you've had trouble with your health. You've had trouble with a child, whether young or grown. Now you've had trouble at work. You don't look forward to being troubled by going to Costco or Kroger over the next few days. We all have troubles that we deal with. Maybe you've invited people to your house and your house isn't yet ready to receive those people because you still have boxes all over the place. Or maybe it's just me. We got a few days still. David, King David, wrote a majority of the Psalms. And this is a guy who was in trouble a lot and knew of trouble. He committed grievous sins against God, like all of us do, but check out his line. He committed adultery, murder. He did everything under the sun, and yet, what does Psalm 46 say? God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. And you know what present in the Hebrew language, when the Old Testament was written, original language? Present means that God is found in the midst of our troubles. That's what that word is saying. It's more than just what our English word says. He's present. We can be present, but not actually really there. Do you know what I'm saying? So a scenario. A wife says to her loving husband, "Hey, honey, can you do the dishes?" "Oh, yeah, I'll get it." 2 hours later, "Honey, I thought you were going to do the dishes. Did you ask me to do that?" See, they were present. Maybe they were hearing, but they weren't listening. I just have heard about those things happening. I've never done it myself. Yeah. Is my wife here? No, I don't know. I'm probably good. You see, God's actually present with you in the midst of your muck and your mire. Maybe he's kind of like, if you've ever been on a sports team, If you've ever been in a marching band, if you've ever been in drama where you're on stage, if you've ever been in a choir, and you're doing these different activities, and in the midst of it, all the people with you that are in the scenario with you are present with you because you're all in this together. You're trying to make that play. You're trying to score those points. You're trying to hit those perfect notes as a choir ensemble. You're trying to, in rhythm, like march perfectly, play all the right notes as you march in a band. And people may be around you in the stands or in the bleachers or in the seats. They're present, but they're not, it doesn't seem like right with you. It's kind of like for Pastor Rich and I, if all of you were in the back, it would feel like we're on an island up here. It sometimes feels like it anyway, Pastor Rich said. And you know why? Because you may be present, but sometimes we don't feel like you're present. If you're way back there and it's like, hello, hey. But God, what he's saying is he's found in the middle of our trouble. He's right there no matter what. No matter what you're dealing with. And so you can build your future on this confidence that God, who sent his son Jesus, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, is with you, is with us, no matter what we deal with, whether Thanksgiving's coming on Thursday or not, whether you have anxieties or shame or hurt, whether you're hard on yourself and you beat yourself up and you put pressure on yourself, whether you're a young man or woman in school and you've got all these tests and papers piled on you because teachers love to do this before a break. They just give you all this work. God's with you. He's going to help you get through it. And you can move forward with gratitude to this God who's with you. And not just on Thursday, and not just during this week, to be thankful for all the gifts God gives us, forgiveness and grace and love, family, an awesome church family. We get to live in the city of Knoxville. All the blessings we have, your jobs. Wouldn't and shouldn't we be thankful all times and in all places for the God who's with us? Whether it's raining or sunny, whether there's struggle or there's joy, because God is present. And it says in verse 7 and 11, it says twice in Psalm 46, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. And Jesus is kind of like your mom in this way. You know when your mom said something once? And if she said it again, she wasn't just saying it for her health. It's kind of like this is what God is doing. He's saying, pay attention. Listen to me. I'm telling you something really important. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. He's saying, I'm wanting you to know when you're in the middle of the muck and the mire, I'm with you. Remember, know it, receive it. A guy by the name of Mislav Rostropovich, who was once universally recognized as the world's greatest living cellist, during the height of the Cold War, Rostropovich and his wife, who was also a musician, spoke out on behalf of human rights and artistic freedoms in the face of the Soviet Union where they lived. Well, speaking out in a communist country had its consequences. Their concerts were canceled, their foreign tours were canceled, their recording projects were canceled. The state-run media imposed a blackout of their names and activities. They were stuck in Russia, and no matter what, they were not able to get out until all of a sudden they had a concert come up in Paris, and the Russians said, you could go. But then they refused to let them back in their country. They stripped him of their citizenship, and they informed Rostropovich that he could never return to Russia again. They were without a home. All their friends, belongings, musical compositions, all their instruments, everything they had was left behind, and they had no access to it. They lived in exile until 1989. November 9th, 1989 to be exact, the date when the Berlin Wall came tumbling down. The communist regime in East Germany was coming apart, and Rostropovich's heart was full of gratitude. He was thankful to God for this thing happening. And so how did he express his gratitude and thanksgiving to God? Rostropovich caught the first plane to Berlin. He jumped in a cab. He told the driver to take him to the wall. When he arrived, he realized he had to worry about something he had never had to worry about before as a cellist. A chair. You can't play cello without a chair. The chair was always ready for him. And never before in his life did he ever have to worry about that little detail, the chair. But now he did. He had to find a chair. So he began knocking on doors of homes close to where he was dropped off. And one German family had a small kitchen chair, and they offered it to him, and he took it. So he sat down his chair in front of the crumbling wall, and he played his cello unaccompanied. And he played something he had never recorded before. He played a Bach cello suite. I chose Bach, Rostropovich later said, to give thanks to our great God. See, Rostropovich understood what Psalm 46 said. He knew what it meant to have the earth shake, the mountains move, the sea roar, the nations tumble. He knew what it was like to lose everything, to not have access to anything that was special to him and valuable. But he also knew that in the midst of it all, God is with us. God was with him. God is with you. And the God of Jacob is our refuge. So this morning, let's thank God. Not just because it's Thanksgiving week, but because as followers of Jesus, should we not be people of gratitude each and every day of our lives? Because you and I, just as we all raised our hands and said, yeah, man, I've had troubles. I've had struggles over the last 4 weeks of my life. We could all raise our hands and also say, there's been struggles. But I also have a story of how Jesus has been with me in the midst of them. We could sit here a long time and listen to those kind of stories too. Because that's what our God does. He's with us in the midst of it. So I want you to be Rostropovich this morning, sitting in your chair or your pew. I want you to think about three things you're thankful for right now, today. I'm just going to take a brief moment to do that. Just thank God quietly in prayer for whatever it is that you're thankful for. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. And then God says in the same chapter, be still and know that I am God. And you know what that be still really means in Hebrew? Let go. Isn't that a better definite, like better word to me? Be still. Yeah, that's great. We all need that. But let go. We can just let go of the burdens, the shame, the hurts, the fears. You know why? Jesus already took them. Why are we holding on to them still? Almost 400 years ago, there was another wall. Another German wall. I guess Germans liked walls. It is a wall that protected the city of Eilenburg, Germany, from the Swedish army. Protestant refugees fled this city seeking shelter, but the crowding was so bad, the conditions were so deplorable, famine was everywhere, plague broke out, and it got so bad that even the pastors, almost all of them left the city, which meant one Lutheran pastor, Martin Reinhardt, was left to deal with a lot of people. In the year 1636, during what would later be called the 30 Years' War, Reinhardt buried 5,000 people from his church. We know this because he recorded it in a journal. At one day alone, he buried 50 people. He had 50 funerals. 100 every week. Reinhardt, during this time, wrote a prayer for his children. It was a hymn of praise, a hymn of thanksgiving, written in front of another wall. The prayer of gratitude goes like this: Now thank we all our God. Wait a minute. Right now, as he's doing all these funerals, as he's dealing with all this hurt, all this suffering from these families, from his own family, from his own community, he's saying, now thank we all our God? I mean, how is that possible? Right now? The wall that's keeping the enemies out is crumbling. Everybody's dying, but now thank we all our God? He was sure, and I'm sure, because of Psalm 46, because of what Jesus says, but better yet, what he has done. He's a very present help in our trouble. You ever heard that hymn? Now thank we all our God with hearts and hands and voices, who wondrous things has done, in whom this world rejoices. I mean, can you imagine him writing that at that moment? Would you be writing that song? I would not. I try to be a glass half full person, but in moments like that, it would only be through the power of the Holy Spirit to write a song like that. But friends, God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit that gave Reinhardt the heart and the posture to write that hymn is the same God who's with you. So no matter what plans you got this Thanksgiving, whether they are great or things just don't work out the way you would intend, give thanks. Because God loves you. He's for you. In good and bad, in joyful and sorrow, no matter what. Amen.